Street at Today SOR.
Here's a question. How accessible are our urban environments for visually impaired people or for people using wheelchairs? Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell spent time with two people, one a wheelchair user, the other somebody who's visually impaired. Brian, you began in Cork.
That's right, Sean. There are two distinct issues here. I suppose one is the design of our cities and the built landscape, as well as public transport options, and then whether or not enough consideration is given to persons who may have limited mobility. And then I suppose the second issue is the actions of people who might obstruct either temporarily or permanently streets and footpaths. So these are two big issues that are coming through. Now, first up, I began in Cork, as you said, with Pat Walsh. Pat uses a cane, and I took the journey from his home, which is just on the south side of Cork City, just off Douglas Street, and we got a sense the kinds of obstacles that are put in his way on a daily basis. Pat has a rare genetic disease which leads to total loss of vision, and I suppose aside from wheelie bins on footpaths, which is a big issue, he also faces issues including bicycles which are chained to poles, and that's a big problem. This is Pat.
The bleeps you hear now are alerting me that I'm coming to the crossing, and so these were a great invention. They're called audio crossings. Panel. Now have a look at this. I'm trying to go to the panel to press the button to cross, but I've met with an obstruction.
There's a bicycle here.
It's an old bicycle with beautiful flower pots in it. Now, the idea is lovely, but look where it's put. It was just, there just wasn't enough thought gone into that. You could trip if somebody was new to the area and blind. They could get the handlebars into the abdomen or the ribs. It could impede a wheelchair user trying to reach the control, the panel, to press the button to cross. Now, some years ago, they put a lot of money into the street, tiled all the pavements.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful for a while until delivery trucks started to pull in and a lot of the tiles cracked and sank.
What are the other issues then, Pat, in terms of... You know, there's been a lot more outdoor seating areas we noticed around the
yes.
city. Is that a problem
yes.
for you?
Wide open areas would be. What they've done in Winthrop Street, for instance, is that they've put a tactile strip in the middle of the street, which is absolutely fantastic. Once the blind person gets on this tactile line, they can go right up the middle of Winthrop Street without any obstruction.
Yeah.
So it's a great idea.
So Pat Walsh is pointing out some of the improvements since, say, the 1980s, Sean, and that's obviously one example of that strip down the middle of a pedestrianised street. It means he's not going to hit into outdoor seating areas or bicycles parked against poles, but those bicycles do tend to remain an issue. Now, the route we took is one that Pat would do every day, so obviously he knows it very well, but loose tiles, poorly finished road surfaces, they're really not helping his daily commute. So he told me about some of the improvements over the years.
The introduction of audio crossings.
Where you hear the beep.
Where you hear the beep. The textured pavements would also be a huge advance in the promotion of independent mobility, you know. And that's all really we want, is that we just want to be treated equally and to have our needs taken into consideration when planning is done. Bikes tied to poles on pavements, it's done with just lack of forethought. And I think for those who have the authority to always keep us in mind. But sometimes we feel that's not always done. Can I give you one example? And it was a source of bubbling rage, may I say, among the blind community here in Cork. Those of us working the city centre noticed about 2 years ago an awful lot of the lights crossings that were previously bleeped were silent.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that they were turning the bleeps and the lights off.
Whoa.
No problem. There you go. You see? Yeah.
Two wheelie bins, so we had to move around. And we nearly ended up on the road. So they were turning them off at night time.
They were not at night time. They were turning them off all the time.
Okay.
There was concern that sighted people were getting confused with the bleeps. And the thing is, the bleeps were there in the first place to promote our independent living.
Has that issue been rectified?
It has been rectified, and I'm glad to say it, yes.
So a lack of consideration.
Yes, absolutely.
So Brian, the other person you met is a wheelchair user.
That's right. I met with Carl Kretzan. Carl is living with cerebral palsy and he would have limited use of his right arm. His speech is somewhat impacted. And Carl would need assistance with daily tasks. One of the ways, I suppose, he's able to assert his own independence is by going into Waterford City where he lives in his wheelchair. But the issues he encounters there, he feels, are all the more amplified because he spent time in Japan and he spent time in the US recently. And he says accessibility was 100 times better there. He didn't have any of the same issues he has here. And here he has issues even getting onto public buses, including the new ones. And that's a big issue for him, as we discovered.
I can't do so much things on my own. And the things I can do on my own are affected.
So we're just off the bus, Carl. Pretty difficult getting on and off.
Really difficult.
It seemed very narrow at the entrance. It was only one way on and one way off the bus. Your wheels were slipping, it was wet, and it was, you had to make one or two goes at it to try and get on, yeah.
As you can see, the two main things are the entrance to turn into the bus and get off the bus, and the other issue is the big yellow hole in the middle of the wheelchair space. As you could see, I couldn't even get into the wheelchair space.
You had to park sideways in the wheelchair space because, as you said, there was a big yellow pole and it made it impossible for you to back yourself into where you should have.
Because I can't get into the wheelchair spot. My wheelchair slips. Really dangerous for me because I could injure myself or I could break my wheelchair. Yeah.
This is a new bus.
Brand new bus.
So you could damage your wheelchair. And it's not like you'd get another wheelchair in the morning.
Well, it could take up to 3 months.
3 months.
To get it fixed.
It's tough to think that Carl could have trouble even with a new bus like that, Brian. But I gather that in Waterford there are some positives in the way things are managed.
Yeah, I met Sean Rohan, who manages the Waterford Disability Network office, and there's quite a lot of conversation now between Carl and between the Waterford Disability Network and local councillors. So there is a bit more conversation happening and they are hoping for more consultation on major projects. But the new buses, I mean, I got on and off the bus a couple of times with Carl. Major issue, tight to get on, very difficult. There's a pole right in the middle where his space should be, and he felt that he didn't have the same issue with the older buses. So again, they feel if there was a little bit more consultation, maybe these issues wouldn't arise. Just on the issue of the traffic lights in Cork City, the audio lights, which obviously make noise so that people can use them. I did get onto Cork City Council and there were actually some issues they were telling me. Members of the public said the volume of some of the audio was making it confusing when they were crossing. They didn't know if it was their lights or the lights adjacent. So they have adjusted them slightly and they say they're all working fine now.
Brian, thank you very much indeed for that report, and no doubt you'll continue to keep an eye on progress or lack of it. We'll be talking to David Coleman about your parenting queries after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.